we'll call the May 17th Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting to order, and we'll start with the roll call.
Member Hackman.
Here.
Member Lee.
Here.
Chairman Talley.
Here.
Member Barnett.
Here.
Member Guthrie.
Here.
Member Brunet.
Here.
And Member Gearing.
Here.
All right, we will start with our public comment committee period. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to make a comment at this point about an issue that's not on our agenda? Hearing none, I guess we'll roll on to approval of the minutes. And I'll entertain a motion to approve the last meeting minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, that was, I guess, Director Hageman and seconded by Jeff Lee. Any further discussion?
I will abstain. I was absent.
And so will I. I was absent.
I'm going to abstain, too. I was absent. So.
Okay. Then I guess let's have a roll call on the minutes to make sure that we actually have a quorum or majority vote, I guess, on that.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Lee?
Yes.
Chairman Talley?
Yes.
Member Barnett?
Abstaining.
Member Guthrie?
Abstain.
Member Brunet?
Abstain.
And Member Gearing?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, the motion carries. And with that, we'll roll into the operations report.
So I will need to email you the water plant operations and reservoir storage and downstream releases tomorrow. I apologize, I don't have that information with me this evening. I'll get this out to you tomorrow.
We'll look forward to that. Moving on, I guess, to information items, the climate update.
Oh, I just don't have.
You don't have any of that.
Item 4A.
Okay.
Jill will be going on to 4B and C.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks. Hi, Jill. Is your microphone on?
I don't think so.
Okay. There we go. Let's see. So I'm here to kind of go over the Lopez Reservoir Storage Projection in your agenda packet. It's the one with the multicolored lines on it. And what is probably notable at this, on this particular one, is that for the last, since April of 2015, we have been tracking water that the agencies saved, and that was the gold-colored line. Basically, the difference between the gold-colored line and the green line was water that was already allocated, meaning that various agencies had saved that water. So it really it belonged to the contractors. As of March 31st of this year, we left the LRRP, so that water is now, there's no longer going to be a dashed yellow line. It's just the reservoir is going to be the green line, and the red line is the projected water level. And on this particular sheet, we're still using kind of what I like to call our worst case scenario. The red dashed line represents the hydrology from 14, 15, and 15, 16. And the usage during that time and evaporation and all those same things. So if we used water and we had that same kind of precipitation and evaporation and temperatures, this is what the reservoir would do over time. We are working to change that. Next time you meet, you'll be a little different type of a graph. We're going to go back to using a website called longrangeweatherforecast.com, I believe it is, and that actually predicts quantities of rainfall by month that we think we're going to get, and then we can use that to project what might actually happen to the reservoir storage based on that prediction. So we're going to go away from a worst case scenario type projection to something that is more forecasting in terms of actual rainfall that we think we might get. So we're working on changing up that storage sheet or the storage projection chart for your July meeting. The other thing that is in your packet that I can speak to is we have You have your Zone 3 Lopez monthly operations report. Looks sort of like this. You will see you have the March one. The March one shows the end of year. That's your end of water year totals. So that's how much water we used in the water year of April 1st to March 31st. Numbers to note are that we have about 1,176 acre-feet of state water stored behind the reservoir. We also, overall usage looks like it was 5,040 acre-feet of stored of Lopez water, and what's this total for the year? Looks like with the state water is not able to, I am not able to give you that number because that works on a different kind of, that's a calendar year that we keep track of that. But so if 5,040 seems large, one of the reasons is because normally our safe yield for the contractors is 4,530. And so we used about an additional 500 acre feet, and that was in part because some of the agencies used their stored water that they had been accumulating during the drought through savings. Mm-hmm. So, and in fact, you can see that number under April to present, and it says that Oceano used about 404 acre feet and Pismo used 458 of their carryover water or stored water that they had saved. And then, so that's March. That's kind of a nice end of year. We had 3,400 acre feet released downstream. And if you switch, there's one more chart in here for you. Just looks just like that. And it actually shows you the first month of our new water year. And you can kind of see what you will, probably what's notable on this is if you look at the far left, we have an entitlement column. And then it says surplus. Those numbers there of surplus are what was recently on May 15th declared, what we declared water surplus water declaration that we took to the Board of Supervisors. So those numbers there represent what the latest board item we took on Tuesday. Does anybody have any questions? You can see each agency's usage this month. If you're curious, everybody, the contracts spell out that you begin to use your entitlement first, surplus second. So that's why right now all the column with entitlement is the only one that has a number in it. As we move through the year, if somebody uses all their entitlement, they can start to go into their surplus water. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of the year, any surplus not used just goes back into the reservoir. They don't get to carry it over.
Jill, the question I have is, do you have any idea how much downstream release, I guess comparing April of this year to April of last year?
No, I don't have that. This shows that this month, in the month of April, we did 358 acre feet. I don't have that information with me offhand. It's if you happen to keep these, it would be on your April 2017
yeah.
Sheet.
Well, I just noticed it was a fairly significant increase compared to the month before in March.
Let's see. Oh, that's a comparison. Let me look.
It was a little over 100 acre feet more.
Mm-hmm. I don't really, I imagine that it had to do with our plan that we meet with the ag. That I'm guessing that's why we're at 350, and in March we were not.
It's 4,200 acre feet is 350 acre feet a month. So
roughly.
That makes sense. So.
Yes. That is a good comparison. We it looks like we mapped out downstream releases for this next year, and if we follow it, We would be at about, I think it was 4,100 acre feet that we would release, but we monitor that. We don't just set it and go. We start out at that number, and then we look to monitor so that we don't send too much water to the ocean, because then we're not really benefiting the groundwater and the farmers if we send too much water down the creek. So that is something we'll be looking at here as we head into summer and start releasing a little more water.
Any other questions for Jill from the committee?
I just have one. So, Jill, we're 52% full when this was on Wednesday, May 9th. Is that correct at Lopez? So make sure I'm looking at the right number.
So the number that you have in front of you, I don't know where you saw the May 9th. This would represent, I'm looking here, it says lake elevation 491.07, mm-hmm. and that would have been taken on April 30th or May 1st.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Jill. I guess moving on to the climate update.
Okay. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, our county is in a little better shape this month than we were compared to our last meeting in March, but we're still experiencing a combination of abnormally dry, moderate drought, and severe drought conditions. Moving on to the NOAA temperature forecast, for the month of May, the outlook from the entire nation compared to the average, the temperature of May is above average. And then the NOAA precipitation forecast, it gives us equal chances for this time of year of above average, below average, or average rainfall. And that concludes my climate update.
Thank you. any questions?
On our averageness?
Yeah.
Just a quick question. Does anybody know what our average rainfall is for May? I'm assuming it's close to zero.
I don't.
I mean, at least for the past 7 years, I think we could safely say, yeah, it's about zero. Yeah.
So if we get any rain at all,
we would bust the average, yes. All right,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I had a comment. I'm wondering if it would be worthwhile to start to track cumulative deficit in terms of rainfall. I mean, you could start around 2005 and track that using some stations that would be representative.
Definitely.
And I think if you did that, you'd see that we do have a continuing cumulative deficit and it's climbing. But
and you mean deficit relative to average?
Relative to average, right.
That's interesting. So I'm not sure what department that in the county would track that. Jill, oh gosh, we have a volunteer.
Yes, I know where the information is stored.
Okay.
I know this. Oh, it's just a matter of like calculating it.
Yes, I know where the data is stored, and we can do that. It's a good thing to look. I will call you on that, though, to get a little, because a couple things jumped into my head. Was like, what do you do when you have above average month's rainfalls? Does that become a minus or a plus? So, but yeah, we could do
the
that.
Deficit, I would think. I mean, are you looking at a cumulative deficit relative?
Yes, right.
Okay. So
yeah, because if you have a year of 50% and then a year of 100%, mm-hmm. you still have a deficit, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. If you have 50% and 125%, you still have a deficit. So something to think about.
Well, I happen to agree with them. I think it's an important number to look at because as we have had 7 years of drought, I do think that when you get as much rain as we did last year and the drought was considered over, I think that was a false flag. I don't, you know, because we are at a deficit in this, mm-hmm. this county. And so I think just it would be a perspective to, as well, you know, when you're – so I actually think it's a great idea in my opinion, but –
Actually, I agree with that, and just to both the members' comments and Grover, we didn't lift our water water drought declaration, and so we're anticipating that it is obviously we are still in a deficit, so
yeah.
We're acknowledging that we may actually go back into a higher level of drought later this year, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Prudent.
Yep. All right.
So, Jill, you'll bring that back to the next meeting?
I will.
Thank you.
Yep.
Alrighty, so now I think we're ready to roll on to the Santa Maria Ground Basin modeling update.
Yes, we have Dan Heimel from Water Systems Consulting presenting that item.
Sure. Hey, everybody.
Hello,
Hi, Dan.
Dan.
How's it going? I heard there was interest in getting an update on the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin model, or the Phase 1B groundwater model, as the current phase of the model is described. I think as this group knows, the Zone 3 Advisory Committee funded portions of the Phase 1B model. And so we've been making good progress on the model. The groundwater model was developed to support the design of the injection well field for the Central Coast Blue Recycled Water Project. It's an iteration or an expansion of a previously developed Phase 1A model, and I'll talk a little bit about why it's different. And then, again, it was funded primarily through a settlement with the South San Luis County Sanitation District and their SEP funds, and through Zone 3 designated reserves. So the Phase 1B groundwater model extends to the Santa Maria River. And so what I mean by that is that it covers, it's shown in that larger black box there, it covers the portions of the Santa Maria groundwater basin all the way from the northwest corner, or the Northern Cities Management Area. It includes the Napomo Mesa Management Area and also the portion of the Santa Maria Valley Management Area shown in pink that is north of the Santa Maria River. That additionally coincides with all of the Santa Maria groundwater basin that resides within San Luis Obispo County. The original, or the Phase 1A model, roughly coincided with the boundary for the Northern Cities Management Area, so this represents a relatively large expansion of the model, and the primary reason for expanding the model is that based on input from the hydrogeologic technical team, they felt that we could provide a much more accurate model and get better results in the Northern Cities Management Area by expanding the model and getting it further away from the boundaries mm-hmm. that we had to select within the model. A little bit about how the model was developed. So it's really built on lithologic data or geologic data obtained from different wells that were drilled within the basin. So this is an image showing sort of a 3D rendering of all the different wells that contributed lithologic data to the groundwater model. It was over 400 different wells, and within each well, the soil types were characterized at different depths. And so it's a little hard to see, but you can see there's different colors associated with the different soil types within each well. And then all that data was aggregated into a 3D lithological model that included 19 million individual cells. And so it really is designed to give us a 3D picture of the geology within the groundwater basin. Just for reference, you know, the in the upper left, that represents the Northern Cities Management Area, the sort of high point. In the middle is the Napomo Mesa, and then as it drops down to the right, that's the portion of the Santa Maria Valley Management Area north of the river.
Does the river kind of run through the middle of that dam?
The river kind of runs along the bottom edge. So we use the river as the southern boundary. Yeah. After the lithological model was developed, it then gets consolidated into the modeling platform, ModFlow, into nine individual layers that correspond with sort of the three primary formations within the basin, the upper alluvium, the Paso Robles formation, and then the lower Carriaga. And one thing I'd like to point out is that the groundwater model, which is primarily being developed by a hydrogeologic firm out of Southern California, named Geoscience, is being closely overseen by technical experts from both the Northern Cities Management Area as well as the Napomo Mesa Management Area. And so the concept there was that the team that was selected to develop the model have extensive experience on groundwater models, specifically groundwater models focused on the purposes of developing recycled water projects. But we also wanted to leverage the knowledge and the expertise of the local hydrogeologists. And so Paul Sorensen with GSI and Steve Bachman representing some of the Napomo Mesa Management Areas have been involved in weekly calls, reviewed all the deliverables, and really brought a lot of that local knowledge to bear to the benefit of developing the model. But also acknowledge Cleith Harris, our geologist, and Tim Cleith has been very active in the model development. And so we've constructed the 3D lithological model. We then brought that into the modeling platform, and so the current phase that the model is in groundwater model calibration. And so these are some preliminary results, and I apologize, they're a little hard to see, but what they're really showing is a comparison of the modeled values versus the observed values, and specifically water level. So what we're really looking for is a correlation between the blue line, which is a little difficult to see, and that's the model groundwater elevations, and then the black dots, which represent actual observed conditions within the basin. So the better the correlation, the better the calibration.
Why is the one less correlated than the others, the one in the bottom?
We've been working through that issue with the technical team. Some of the geology on the western edge of the basin gets a little harder to characterize. It's a little bit more heterogeneous, meaning different materials. It's not as consistent. And so as we've talked through it with the team, it's really been a struggle for not just Geoscience and the development of the model, but the NMMA technical group for a number of years, trying to understand why the groundwater levels on sort of that western edge of the basin don't seem to correspond with conditions in other parts of the basin. And it's... There are theories that there may be underflow coming through some of those formations on the outside of the basin that are traditionally not seen as water-bearing, but we see high levels near there, and so they've worked through that, and they've come to a better representation than some of their earlier calibrations with these graphs.
Looks like, Dan, you had about 35 or so years, 77 to...
Yeah, so we tried to go for as large of a time frame as we could where we could have reliable data. And so we also wanted to model a balanced hydrologic period, so not just a wet period or a dry period, but one that really encompassed the full range of conditions. So the next steps for the groundwater model are to finalize calibration. We have a conference call / workshop tomorrow, actually, to review the latest calibration with the technical team. Once we've got agreement on the calibration, then really the fun starts. Now we'll have a tool that we can use to run predictive modeling scenarios. And so the primary goals for using that tool will be to be able to evaluate yield the groundwater basin, identify potential pathways for seawater intrusion. Based on that, develop a configuration for our injection well field for the Central Coast Blue Project, and then ultimately be able to develop updated estimates of project yield. So how much water, wet water, will the Central Coast Blue Project provide? So. And yeah, so that's the presentation I have. And if there's any questions.
Were there any surprises in the data?
The biggest surprise, I think, for everybody, and maybe not so much for the hydrogeologists that have been working there for a long time, but was that western edge that Ryan pointed out. At one point we saw differences in elevation, groundwater elevation, of almost 100 feet between what was predicted and what was observed. And so to me, that was really one of the biggest surprises.
Any other questions? All right.
Just a quick one, sorry. Sure. So when you say finalize the model calibration, is that 2 months, 6 months, and then?
I'm hoping it's weeks. The groundwater model is currently, it's on the critical path for the Central Coast Blue Project. We're looking at the groundwater model to identify our injection well sites. Then we can proceed with the engineering associated with the pipelines to feed those injection well sites, as well as the environmental process to evaluate the impacts of the construction and operation. So we're pushing hard to get the model completed. We hope to have a calibrated model and model results this summer. So hopefully in a couple months.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you, Dan. All right. I guess next item on the agenda is the Lopez Spillway Assessment Update.
I don't have a lot to update you on. However, we did get, last time I was here, I think we said we had put the request for proposals out to bid and that we had 7 people show up at a job walk, and that ended up resulting in 3 bids. And so we're in the process of reviewing those and scoring them and picking the most qualified. So I imagine within the next, I would say that by June, we would be awarding a contract for it. And I can say that from looking at the proposals, that everybody is scheduled. Their schedules all show completion of the spillway assessment by December of 2018. So that's where we're at the moment. Any other questions on that?
Just a quick question. Does the Zone 3 Measure Committee need to take any action before you award the contract, or does it go straight to the board, or what's the plan for that?
It will depend on the overall cost, but I believe it does have to go to the board. It's
so
going to be.
Doesn't need a recommendation from us?
I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Because if that's the case, then we would have to wait till July or hold a special meeting or something of that nature.
Thank you.
We'll get back to you.
All right. Third quarter budget status update.
Good evening. Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. I'm here tonight to provide you with the fiscal year 17-18 third quarter budget status report. This report is for July 1st through March 31st, 2018. At the end of the third quarter, expenses totaled 55% of the annual budget. In your packets, there are 3 graphs reflecting the budget versus the actual expenses. The first graph displays routine O&M. At 75% of the fiscal year, expenses were 72% of the budget, resulting in approximately $1 million of available balance for the remainder of the year. The second graph displays non-routine O&M. At 75% of the fiscal year, expenses were 30% of the budget, resulting in approximately $418,000 of available balance for the remainder of the year. For most of the budgeted items in this category, the unspent balances at year-end will be carried into next fiscal year for continued work. The third graph displays capital outlay. At 75% of the fiscal year, expenses were 15% of the budget, resulting in roughly $1 million of available balance for the remainder of the year. Unspent balances at year-end will be carried into next fiscal year to continue the projects through completion. And as I mentioned at your last meeting, I have more details regarding the completion of the pH suppression project. I actually have a handout for you. This is just a quick kind of a heads up of where we're heading for year end. So we just talked about where we were at in capital outlay for the third quarter. So roughly half of the remaining capital outlay budget, so about $516,000, is due to the pH suppression project, which we have now completed. So let's see, as you recall, in order to fund the project to the tune of about $625,000, last year, your advisory committee approved deferring some projects, some budgeted projects, using some contractor reserves, and using some of the district-funded designated reserves. So with that remaining $516,000 of budget, I propose to replace all of the reserves that you guys have used, and I think your spreadsheet here shows, it'd be $48,000 back to the contractor reserves, and $280,500 to the district-funded designated reserves. After replacing those reserves, there's still going to be an estimated $187,000 of budget left. And last week at the TAC meeting, I discussed with them this situation, and they recommended using this remainder to offset the year-end 17-18 billing true-ups. Usually you guys get a credit back with those billings. This year, it's estimated that there'll probably be $145,000 of billings, not a credit. So that will be spread proportionately to your agencies. It's due mainly to just lots of unbudgeted items this year. We've had a lot going on. So the TAC recommends using the remaining budget to offset that so you will not get a bill this year. Let's see, what else is on that handout? Down towards the bottom, there is a small graph that shows the contractor reserves. This is what it will look like in your contractor reserves once we replace the $48,000, so you can see each of your agencies listed there. And then down at the very bottom is a look at the district-funded designated reserves. Now, this chart's trying to show on the far left what you guys have earmarked. The middle column shows what we've actually used with the proposed return of the $280,500. And then the right-hand column is showing you your proposed designated reserve balance once we do all of that. And the other amounts that are still listed by the efforts would be just amounts that are still earmarked for those efforts. So that's my report. Any questions?
Christy, do we need an action on the part of the committee to support the TAC recommendation?
I think it would be a good idea. That way I have something official to go by.
So moved.
Okay. Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded.
Just a clarification question. So technically it wasn't on tonight's agenda?
Oh, that's true. This was more of an informational. So do you want to wait and have it as part of the year end? Because that won't happen in July. That happens in September, I believe. That's when we will have a year-end fourth quarter budget update. And we can actually give you more firm numbers.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. Thank
Better idea? Okay, mm-hmm. Thanks, Jeff.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, thank you.
I think we have
Claire.
Maybe a consensus to move in that direction, pending the when it comes back in September.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
I don't see any reason not to do that.
Right, well said. Alrighty.
Okay, we're moving on to the capital projects updates. We have Jill presenting that item.
All right.
Okay.
So before you, you should have a staff report from David Spiegel, who is the support engineer for the Lopez project. And let's see. So we've got our equipment audit and replacement. That's something that is an ongoing item. I've mentioned the spillway assessment that we're going to award in June. And at this time, the cost is unknown. We have the Lopez Dam and Terminal Dam hazard classification. I mentioned at our last meeting that we've submitted our inundation maps, and they are still at DSOD, just waiting for approval. Once it's approved, then we will be able to submit our emergency action plans, which are also completed. We are in the final part of the structural assessment of the terminal reservoir. We had the study completed. We actually have a final, but as I mentioned to the TAC, that it kind of raised more questions in that their assessment had to be based on existing plans for the terminal reservoir as opposed to like some geological information. And we searched through our files and there's just no record of any real borings or anything having been done there. So our next step is going to be to get some geologic data, have the people who did the assessment relook at it with some, you know, actual geologic information. Let's see. We also would expect to see, we had a little, our project was, we call it the fault zone assessment. We had some erosion at one of the abutments, and we had a company, the same one that did the structural assessment of the terminal reservoir, go to the site and do an assessment of, you know, what's happening with this erosion. Is it something serious, something we need to worry about? So we should have that report here in the beginning of June. That should be finished. Slowly working on the equipment storage. Some of these items we put on the back burner. As Christy mentioned, we had a lot of unplanned work this year, and so that took some priorities. And so the equipment storage building has been a little bit on hold, but we are still making progress on it, and it will be worked on more here in 18-19. Safety upgrades are continuing. Domestic and fire tank, we are in the process of finding out how much water do we actually need for fire flow. That's something that's never been determined that we can discover, so that could have an impact on whether what we do to the two tanks. Maybe we only need one tank. Maybe there's some question there, so that's where we're working on that. Rebuild of the membrane feed pumps. We're doing one per year. It's currently being rebuilt as we speak. I'm happy to report that the turnout meter replacements were done. That's now completed. The pressure transducers are being installed next week. And I did want to mention some items that we had budgeted for 17-18, but also became lower priority based on the other work that presented itself, is the cathodic protection survey. We will actually be working on that in 18-19. And the sludge bed cleanout, we're in the process of repairing that, and so we've done two of them, and we'll probably do the other two next year. And we've done a static mixer replacement. That was an unknown thing that loomed up ahead, so we are dealing with that. And another item for next year will be the Lopez Water Treatment Plant leach field repair. So that is all I have on our current projects. Do you have any questions about any of that? Okay. Let's see. And some of that, I just wanted to point out, when Christy mentioned the capital outlay and that we've only spent 15%, it doesn't, sometimes that kind of gives you the wrong picture, because it turns out that as I went over this, there are four items that look like we haven't spent anything, and that's because they're going to hit the budget in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So next time you see this, all of a sudden numbers are going to go up, and we're going to meet that line, that green line, a lot closer.
Just a little bit
exactly. Yes.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we have no items under item 7, so we'll move on to item 8A, the Stormwater Resources Planning Grant. And Jill, were you presenting that as well?
Yes, sort of. I was figured Dan will help me with this a little bit. So this is another effort that you approved to be funded through the Zone 3 District Designated Reserves. It's the same category that you also helped fund the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin. The Stormwater Resources Plan initially... I believe you had slated $250,000 because we really didn't know what the scope of work was. As it turned out, they were going to actually need $189,000, and then we were able to leverage the money that you had already spent on the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin as matching funds. So in the long run, and what it ended up being is Zone 3 only needs to come forth with $92,000, I believe. It's in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's leveraging. It's great. So Patrick Holub and Larissa Clark are the leads for the Stormwater Resources Plan. And so one of the things, the other way we're leveraging that Santa Maria Groundwater Basin modeling, the money you've already put forward towards that, is that they are going to use that model to help with the Stormwater Resources Plan to find areas, to be able to use the model to evaluate areas that they can take that stormwater and put it back in. So it's really exciting that we're, all these different ways, it's like we're finding water in a way, or at least figuring out a way not to waste it. So all good efforts, and they're very thankful that you guys decided to fund that. So maybe at the next meeting, I believe they have a really fast timeline on this. What will happen is we're looking for your support tonight. You did, in a way, formally support this move back in, I think it was March of 2017 or 16, when you approved using designated reserves to fund this effort. However, I think it would be good if tonight you kind of reaffirm that. In your packet there is the motion is to recommend that I take this to the Board of Supervisors for approval, and along with that I would take a reimbursement agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande in the same way that I did the same type of thing when we took an agreement to the City of Pismo Beach for the groundwater modeling.
All right. Do we have questions or comments on this?
I have a question, and maybe it's just me following two different sets of numbers. So, because in the recommendation, it looks like the budget adjustment is $99,875. So, but looking at Christie's heads up, so is that the third line? Is that the third line in the recommended uses versus existing ending balance? Because that's the Prop 1 grant match. And then ultimately I'm seeing the $117,000 on line 2 of the bottom graph.
Yeah, so on that bottom graph, it is part of that third line. So the $189,376, that's the number you guys have been seeing for the last year and a half. And I think I put over there in the red that the actual match would be somewhere around $100,000. And that's just because at the TAC last week we learned about this.
And so ultimately that right half of the right ending estimated ending balance for fiscal year 17-18 is not going to be 189. It's going to be whatever.
It would be a little bit more.
It'll be a little bit more. Nope. So actually ultimately
because we wouldn't use all 189.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's just I didn't throw it in here because I doubt any action on the reserves will be taken until next fiscal year. So I didn't factor that in because this is kind of new information.
Right. But just from an overall standpoint, we're actually in a better position with this recommendation then, because we didn't need to use the whole.
Yes, because you're not going to use as much as you had earmarked. That's right.
And I believe in the staff report that's in your, you will see a chart that looks similar to what Christy did, only mine's probably just a tad more, slightly more accurate, a little bit more, it has a bottom line number down there that's a little more, I think my math works out in mine.
And so if I'm reading that correctly, at the top of page, I guess that's 21 of the staff report, it has reserves on 3/17/2016 of $1,038,729. So if you took Christie's 891,322,
is that the same one? What's missing from the bottom lines, if you're comparing both bottom lines, I think what's missing is my chart shows that we're putting back that remaining amount, that $280,500 from the pH suppression. Jill's graph doesn't really show that. What she was trying to show was back in March of 2016, that's what your reserves looked like. And since then, these are the things that you guys have been working on. So they look similar, but they're showing different things, these graphs. Sorry for the confusion.
Okay. So ultimately tonight, we're being asked to recommend a corresponding budget adjustment of $99,875, which will offset the $189 that we've been seeing. And have we already done the cost sharing agreement with the Red Rocket?
We're working on that.
Okay, so that's going to come back for a separate action. Thought I'd seen that as an item.
Well, I think what we're recommending, and if you want to see the actual cost share agreement, what it looks like, it'll have that dollar amount in it. If you wanted to verify that, I don't believe that I did that. The last time you said go forward, take this item to the Board of Supervisors and take an agreement to be executed. I didn't at that time. I don't believe I had given you the actual agreement. That's the only thing missing because it's being drafted as we speak. So if you're comfortable saying going forward with the plan, which is to go to the board, take an agreement, we can do it that way. Or if you want to see the actual agreement, we could come back again. It wouldn't really work very well, to be honest, with the stormwater resources planning schedule, because they have to have their plan done, I think, by October. It's really fast for them. So they're trying to have me expedite this process.
I wasn't intending to slow down the process. I just wanted clarification of
yes.
What we already authorized in this.
Other questions or comments?
I think this is a good idea. Sorry, I didn't.
We'll start with Jim and then Marsha.
Go ahead.
Okay, so in my view, I think we should support the staff recommendation. I think it's a really important project. I do think, though, that we should schedule for a future agenda a discussion of district-funded designated reserves and what we're going to do with that money, mm-hmm. and do we have a strategy to refund, and if not, do we accept that we're going to eventually spend it all and not be able to do these kinds of things in the future? Mm-hmm. I think we need to think about that.
Mm-hmm. And if the first part of your statement was a motion, I'll second
that.
Yes, that's a motion.
And a second, and then Marcia had a comment.
Echoing his comments, I support it.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Why don't we have a roll call vote on this?
Member Hegeman?
Yes.
Member Lee?
Yes.
Chairman Talley?
Yes.
Member Barnish?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Brunet?
Yes.
And Member Guerin?
Yes.
All right. That motion carries. I guess next up is the cloud seeding letter of support.
Yes, so in your packets on page 28, you'll find a draft letter. This was drafted by our water resources engineer, Ray D'Anzo. He presented the water resources website at our last meeting in March, and he is looking for the advisory committee's support to present to the Board of Supervisors at the June 19th meeting that will be discussing cloud seeding. This is just a draft. I'm happy to provide you with the electronic version if there's any changes you'd like to make, or I can make those on your behalf after I note them tonight and send them to the committee. I'm happy to facilitate the final draft and submittal of this letter on your behalf.
All right. Questions or comments on the letter?
Were there any comments or on the mitigated negative debt?
Yes, there were comments, and I believe that he speaks to that in this letter. And the draft is still on the website. I don't know if you put that on there, but and maybe there. Maybe I'm thinking of the minutes. In the minutes, I noted that there were comments. But yes, he did receive some comments on the mitigated declaration.
Nobody's filing a lawsuit saying we need to do an EIR, though?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I don't know if that would matter in terms of the committee's support, but it's a nice piece of information.
Yeah, I don't know, but I can look into that.
I'm sure.
Okay.
I'll probably say
probably would know, but we do work in different divisions, so I'm not completely in the loop with Ray's project. And also, the meeting is taking place on June 19th, so your presence isn't required, but just in case you wanted to be there to speak in support in person, you're welcome to do that.
Other comments or questions?
I just have a tiny consistency with the first paragraph. The winter cloud seeding program for Lopez Lake and Salinas Reservoir dash mitigated negative declaration. Go to the last paragraph. The dash is removed, so I don't know if it should just be one or the other. Yeah.
I'll make note of that.
All right. Does anybody want to make a motion to support this?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Got a motion and a second. A roll call vote.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Lee?
Yes.
Chairman Talley?
Yes.
Member Barnidge?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Reluctant, yes.
Member Brunet?
Yes.
And Member Baring?
Yes.
All right, the motion carries.
So, Chairman Talley, would you like me to bring that? How would you like me to hand this letter to you so you could sign off on behalf of the committee?
How about if you email it to me?
Okay.
And I will sign it and email it back. Will the scans document work? Or do you
I think that would be fine, but you might want to follow up with the original in the
sure.
mail.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. I guess future agenda items. Lopez Lake Safe Yield. Any comments or questions about that?
So this item's been on here for a few months, and I have mentioned that I think that the safe yield number has been identified, but I think that we will come back to the committee to confirm that number once the modeling is completed. So I just leave it on here to remind all of us of that.
Okay. Well, and cloud seeding, which we just covered.
We covered it, but we'll keep it on here. So after the June 19th date, we can report on that. I don't know if Ray will come back to the committee to do that, but we'll have a report on the outcome of that meeting. And I have noted the strategy of district-funded reserves for future agenda items as well.
Very good. Jill, you're at the microphone.
Yeah, I would also suggest... just to put it on the record that we are going to discuss revisions to the low reservoir response plan. Mm-hmm. That will likely happen in July.
All right. Any other thoughts on future agenda items? Okay, with that, I'll open it up to committee member comments. Got a quiet group, which means that we're going to finish this thing up in 55 minutes. I guess we're adjourned.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
So what the process?